Welcome to Reflector Reflections, the podcast exploring the unique and fascinating world of human design through the lens of being a reflector. I'm Annie Richardson, a 5-1 reflector and passionate mentor navigating this journey alongside you. This podcast is a space to connect, share, and celebrate the stories and wisdom of reflectors and human design enthusiasts alike. Join me as we dive into authentic conversations, uncovering how we embrace and experiment with our designs, and the beauty and challenges of living as nine-centered beings. Whether you're a reflector, loved one, or simply curious about human design, this is your space to learn, grow, and feel seen. Welcome. Today's beautiful conversation is with Rachel Williamson, a beautiful fellow 5-1 reflector with the left angle cross of upheaval. I always laugh at these, Rachel, like they just make me go, oh. Rachel is a social worker, a counsellor, an energetic kinesiologist who I was so very fortunate enough to meet at this year's Human Design Conference here in Southeast Queensland, actually Northern New South Wales. So I just loved these a few chats that we had, and I'm really excited for you being here and we can have more chats. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. So exciting.
And in true alignment, this podcast won't have any video with it, just because we're doing a no video.
Yes, the stars aligned to stuff the technology this morning.
You know, it's so interesting because I obviously saw everyone's body graph as they were coming through for the conference, and it'd be like, oh yeah, that person, you know, but we had a number of people, so it didn't kind of really file it. And one of the things that I really love to do is not really look at somebody's design or their body graph until kind of just before, so I get that kind of surprise and delight. And just knowing that you're a fellow 5-1, and we were just chatting there briefly off about how our variables are very similar, but you know, you're a left and I'm a right in that top right arrow. It's just so cool to meet somebody who's also in a similar field to me, a 5-1 and also a fellow reflector. And I just kind of go, oh, wow, because the few chats that I had with you at the conference, I just felt so comfortable with you. You've just got that energy where I just go, oh, I could just collapse here. And you're safe.
Yeah, that's so nice. I find that with a lot of reflectors, not all. I think we're so individual in our energies, but that's probably the number one comment that I get is, oh, you're so grounded. It was really lovely meeting you.
Now, as we do here, I want to take us on your story, your journey. So I'm going to ask you, how did Human Design find you, or you find Human Design?
So Human Design found me through a friend. Probably it was first mentioned to me maybe 2017 or 2018, and I think my friend was a little bit more into the gene key side of things, and so I'd kind of just, put a pin in it, bookmarked it, but wasn't called to it. And then I think it was 2019, I was going through some really big life stuff, and I just went into looking up my human design and found, obviously, this body graph in front of me with all open centers. And everything just clicked into place. Like, I cried when I read the description. And I think I've heard other reflectors say this too. It was almost like the dropping of all the pieces, and having these multiple flashbacks to life experiences and why certain things were experienced by me the way that they were. And it just all made sense. And of course, my first line wanted to jump in and find out all the information. You know, the first thing that I did, I think, was order the definitive book of human design. And so I went into a deep dive, but it was kind of scattered. And as energy works, you read into what calls to you the most at the time, but it was still all over the place. And so I think since then, I've just been kind of leaning into learning as much as I can and pulling all those threads in to place, making it make sense. But yeah, really, really sinking into what this energetic makeup means for me and how I move through the world and learning how to honor that.
And I know a lot of people have heard my story of finding that, and I love what you just shared there about it. It pulls all the threads because it's, in a way, it's yanking at some of the past unsettledness that we've had, or the way that we kind of felt very alienated. That's what I found. And I know
Yes.
with a lot, it's taking that journey back through our life. And I'd love for you to share, if you'd like to, of that journey of you going back to little Rachel and how you grew up. And would you like to share that?
Yeah, so I grew up in a household of sacral types. And I've heard lots of people talk about that too. So I really don't think that I, well, I was conditioned to be a energy type, or being around energy types, made me think in the way that energy types do. I had a really interesting upbringing, though, in the sense that my mum was diagnosed with early breast cancer at age 31, and she went through the process of healing herself. She worked with guru down in Victoria, Ian Gawler, who's since retired, and healed herself through meditation and diet. And so it was a real family journey, which I think was a blessing in itself. Being a reflector is being in that energetic space and seeing what's possible when people work with their energy. However, we moved around a lot as a family, and so my experience, kind of looking back on my experience of a reflector, I went to seven different schools, and when I started a new school, I would come home at the end of that day with the biggest migraine, and mum would have to tuck me up on the couch and put a blanket over me and just let me rest. And so when I think about those experiences now, they make complete and total sense. Just that overwhelm of being so open and in this new environment and having so much stuff to field through my energy. And yeah, so they're kind of my early childhood experiences that really fascinate me to look back on now. And then as I got older, I guess, we all play that self-worth dance. And I definitely went through, because my son is gate 18, that's another challenge, being a reflector with son in gate 18. And I think that I very much internalized the energy of that gate. And so I saw the imperfections of everything around me, and certainly within myself. So I became this massive overthinker. And that really impacted on my ability to be me, but also the way that I was stepping through the world, certainly through my 20s. The uncertainty and the second guessing and the always kind of questioning, was I doing things the right way? And so it's been a blessing to have the unwinding that happens in the feminine as we begin to, drop that estrogen veil and basically not give a shit anymore, and really kind of step into the power of who I am as a person and my worth, which is Certainly great, as everyone's are, because we are all innately worthy. And learning that and expressing that has been a real gift.
I love that unmasking that we do as women, and I'm sure as men, but I've got more experience as being a woman. But the unmasking, it's incredible for us and to observe it in others. I was
Absolutely.
just listening to you there, and I'm sure that that fifth line has really played out in a lot of that. Could you share a little bit about how you felt that that's played out for you through that journey?
I'm still stepping into the energy of what the fifth line means for me. I think that it probably stands out most for me in the work that I stepped into. So, straight out of school, I went to university and studied to be a social worker. And I spent 25 years kind of working in the system. So, health and 10 years in health and 10 years in education, approximately. I carried a wariness with me throughout that journey. I think because at some level I was aware of this projection field and people having this expectation that I could fix things. And when you're working with people in these kind of settings, I was always very aware that there's things that I can't fix, and certainly if people aren't fully on board with the process, a lot of those referrals in the system are not necessarily voluntary, but they come with this massive load of expectation and responsibility that you can move somebody through what they're going through. So I was very wary, when I got new referrals, when these kind of pressures came my way, I'd have to put really strong boundaries in place and be very clear about what I could do and what was out of the realm of, my possibility. I think that's where the fifth line has played out most strongly. However, I think it's less strong these days, maybe because I'm doing the work that I'm really led to do. And because I am really trusting that people who come my way are coming my way for a reason. They're guided to me because of the work that I do and my energy and where I can lead someone, rather than kind of being in this box of, you have to work this way and do these things and all of that kind of stuff.
And I'm not immune, or I'm not in denial of the heavy load that social work has. And I'd like to ask you, if you don't mind sharing, was this something that you, obviously I know this is a fifth line part of us as well. We want to help others. And generally it's through our own lived experience and practicality. Was there a defining point where you thought, this is what I'm going to do? I'm going to do social work for this reason? Was there that part of that helper vibe, or I can do something, I can impact here?
Definitely helper vibe. When Mum went through her cancer journey, and I listened to Ian Gawler speak at his seminars, and I was part of the kind of healing groups and meditations that they did. I just had this desire to be able to do that one day, to be able to stand up in front of people and talk the way that he spoke, and not necessarily having been through the journey that he went through, obviously. So I think it must be that universalizing energy of going through an experience and then wanting to kind of take that through me and be able to express it into the world. And so there were quite a few things like that in my lifetime where I was like, oh, I really want to do that. I want to launch into this space. But always held back by that internal self-doubt and that, I'm not as good as them, or that kind of stuff. So Yeah, I think they were the themes going through these experiences and seeing the power of healing really lit something up inside of me and still does. But I love to be able to share the power of being a soul in a human body and the potential that we have when we tap into it.
And you know what, just from my reflection here as well, is that 20 years that you've spent in the system doing that social work and how it's kind of led you to you, it's also that's for me, just looking at you and a bit of myself, laying that solid foundation of the next step in your life, which is now. Do you feel that? Do you feel like you've really laid a solid foundation to be able to support people in these areas of their lives, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel really blessed to have been through the experiences that I went through, and to have done the deep dives into myself, and that is never ending, as you know, we as deep as we go, there's always more. For me now, for me then, going through those experiences, I think as I support people too, I'm aware that when we begin that place, we often begin from the I'm not good enough, I need to fix myself place. And so when we approach things from that place, our body's in fight or flight. You know, we want to get rid of these parts of ourselves. We want to escape. We want to fix. We want to do all the things. For me now, when I go deep and I feel the feels, I honestly have waves of gratitude that flow through me of the blessing of being able to experience these emotions and love those parts of myself. And that's what I offer other people, you know, that the gift of the 18th line is seeing the perfection in what is. It's not about what's not working and what needs fixing. It's seeing absolute perfection in what is present.
Beautiful. You have, as I do too, but you have, you know, four gate. Actually, you've got four gates, but multiple versions of that in your spleen. And I guess you've taken that journey of looking at where these things sit, and it's very interesting for us, isn't it, to look at these open centers or these they're undefined, but where is a lot of this heavy kind of theming coming out of? And it's, you know, your root and your spleen are the two big ones for you. Have you kind of journeyed into that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very much aware of how the fears of the spleen gate manifested through my early life. I feel like I was literally scared of everything as a young girl. And so that has played a part in kind of working through these things as an adult. And it's interesting that the root center comes into play too, because that is that adrenalized fight flight type responses, which feed into the spleen, of course. And I think living with not only, so I grew up in a family of sacral people, I'm now in a family of sacral people. They all also have defined root centers. So I think in recent years, that's probably been one of my biggest struggles is to disconnect from the pressure that they feel and the pressure that they are kind of putting out into the environment and not taking that on myself. But yeah, certainly aware of those energies and how they've played out in my learning and experiences.
I love how you just worded that then of I'm aware of the pressures of those around me. Okay, you didn't say those exact words, but I'm paraphrasing because that has been a big aha moment for me only in the last probably year to 18 months in my journey. Of always internalizing a lot of what I was feeling But then all of a sudden going, it's more than me just going, oh, that's not mine. It's more like going, oh, I can really now see how that's affecting my partner, and that's the pressure that they're under. It was a different level of compassion and understanding. So.
I think I've even taken that a step deeper this year in particular. So I've been through some interesting times with my teenage daughter. She's in her last teenage year, and definitely has, the root center has a powerful blast when it wants to. So I've been dealing with that, and I find it quite easy to say to myself, to see the pressures around the person and why they behave or respond the way that they are. And yet I was still holding a lot of pain around those experiences with her this year. Until I sat and thought about what is the wound in me that's being activated by these responses in her. Even though I can see she's got all of these pressures around her, there's a wound in me being activated through these things. And I was experiencing these same flight urges every kind of interaction that I had with her. I was wanting to get out of my body again, like the old me. And I sat with that and thought, what needs to be seen? And when that rose in me, and I was able to name that for myself and send that the love that it needed, these practices that we've done many, many times, but we get new opportunities to look at them in different ways. Since was able to meet that wound, the whole interaction with her has changed. And so it's no longer just about kind of making space for the pressures around her and her reactions. When those reactions come, I am no longer activated by them. So there's always opportunities and teaching moments in our relationships and, where we are in life. So that's probably been my biggest takeaway from this year.
Yeah, and that's huge. That's one of those defining moments. Like I like to call them like big defining moments in our life where we can finally, I was recently just sharing. I was having a chat with somebody. I needed a debrief, as you know, sometimes in this work we need people to debrief with, and they were repeating back to me everything that I would normally say to somebody else, and I knew it. And instead of being like, oh, that's just what I would say, I really took it on and I really opened my heart to what they were saying to me and felt it into my core. And it was just one of these moments of just going, this is one of those moments where we can walk the walk and talk the talk, you know? Because it's really easy for you to, well, I know for me, as a practical fifth line person, I want to help. And sometimes I have self-sabotaged my own needs for the needs of others. So
So easy.
easy, especially as parents. So is do you just have one? How many children
So I
do you
have
have?
two children. I have a 21-year-old son and an almost 20-year-old daughter. So been through many of the
I
phases
bet.
of raising children. And yes, there's certainly been some challenges over the years.
And what types are they, if you wouldn't mind sharing?
I think me taking on board their energy has been the number one challenge. Me thinking that I had to be this perfect parent and, that was my job to keep things smooth sailing. My son certainly had some challenges. So he was a very sensitive child. He's a Mangen. So he had the speed about him, but he was really sensitive and took everything to heart. And so I had this desire to wrap him up in a in a ball and, protect him from everything. So yeah, me taking on the stress of my environment, whether it be with what the children were going through or what my husband was going through, and just trying to hold everything. And I think it's easy for reflectors to fall into that place of holding all of the energy inside of us, and yet that has massive implications on our health. And certainly for me, I had quite a few years of living in chronic pain with sciatica and back issues. And when I discovered about being a reflector, I was going through an autoimmune, I don't know, some kind of condition where I was having hives every day. So I was literally reacting to the environment around me. So yeah, learning my lessons and being taught very clearly about the impact of holding all of that energy inside of me.
It's quite confronting when we know this intellectually, that the body keeps score, but when the body stops whispering and it starts screaming, and then you're literally like forced down on the ground. I've had many moments, friend, I have had many moments where I have not listened and kept going, and I've literally been stopped dead in my tracks by things. Most of my friends and long-term friends have often said, the universe for you, Annie, is subtle as a sledgehammer. But this year I've said, I don't want the sledgehammer anymore. I'm listening now. And I've just entered into a more gentle phase of just actively being curious and gentle and kind to myself. It's been the year of more than any other years. I think this has been the year of me. I love that. That's that unmasking that we spoke about in the beginning, isn't it? It's like the revolution of us just going, okay, I've done the hard yards with parenting, even though you never stop parenting, especially 20-year-olds. Oh my God. But you can start putting yourself first.
Just opens up a little bit more space and a little bit more gentleness into daily life and scheduling. And yeah, when there's space, we can breathe a little bit more easily. We don't feel like we need to hold as much.
At what point then did you really, I guess with your history, it was inevitable that it was going to happen, but this journey into more of the energetics way of, the kinesiology and studying that, what happened during that time and how has that evolved for you?
I could call that a sledgehammer moment.
I love
As we know, the world changed completely in 2020. And having just been through that autoimmune stuff that I'd walked through and getting to this space of really needing to honor my body and what my body was telling me. Making that choice of honoring my body and what my body told me had the consequence of me losing my job. And so I guess it coincided with in 2020 just having this hit of, okay, this is the year that I'm going to start studying kinesiology. And so by the time I didn't have a job anymore, I had nearly finished my studies. And I was kind of starting to envision what this life that I was stepping into would look like. And that's been a really interesting process, going from living life as a conditioned sacral type, 9 to 5 and all of that kind of stuff. And even though I was working part-time for many years through my parenting, I was still in the system of, we get up and we go to work and we have a secure income and we pay the mortgage and we do the things, right? And so all of that was stripped away. I became solely dependent on my husband to carry the load. Bless him. He's a very strong generator type, and that has been the biggest blessing through this journey. But I, you know, on a daily basis, I had to kind of ask, what do I want this life to look like, and how do I go about structuring a life that works with my energy? To be honest, I'm still experimenting with that. I don't know that I'll ever get the full answer to that, but I think I'm flowing a lot better. It's a learning process, learning to flow. And I'm doing things that I never thought that I would do before. I'm doing a cash job where I deliver microgreens, and I just picked up this work doing equine assisted therapy with horses and people who need that kind of support. And then I'm still building my business in kinesiology and talking to clients about their human design and, you know, how that impacts on the way that they walk through the world. And so all of this amazing stuff that I kind of never dreamed for myself, but now see this amazing potential. And it really is a blessing. I feel so honored when people book an appointment with me and trust me to hold space for what they're working through. And I think that is my gift. My biggest gift is helping people to come back home to themselves. Seeing me isn't about me and my gifts. It's about the client and their reconnection with what is beautiful within them. And it doesn't matter how slow that process is of building the business. You know, if I have one client a month, I'm so grateful for that one client and that opportunity to be in that space with that person. And I know it will grow. Reflectors grow slowly. We flow where the energy does. But yeah, it's been the last 4 years, it's been a journey.
I love that. It touches my heart. And you know what? I really feel you here, and I feel all reflectors. It's a very common thing of, well, if I'm just being true to myself, that doesn't really pay the bills. And I think it's that really stepping into that, air quoting, deconditioning aspect of what defines success? What defines success for me, or what defines success for this environment? And I've journeyed through that, and it sounds like you're journeying through that as well, of going, but all of these amazing opportunities are opening up, and you probably feel so alive and in the flow, and it feels good, but it's still the mental aspect goes, oh, there's not, you know, I don't have a stable income coming in. I don't have, you know, all of these kind of conditioned aspects of how we were raised, because we're 70s children, we got a lot of that. Yeah, a lot of that. But I just want to, you know, have voice to that, because it's very easy to kind of walk this dance of the deconditioning and go, oh, I'm going to be all flowy. But sometimes it hits us, doesn't it, of just going, well, hang on a sec, can this be sustainable? I can't just be me. I mean, why can't we? But I can't just be me. It's this constant kind of dance. But I don't know about you, but the more I do random things that just that bring me joy, the more it ripples out, and those opportunities just become more abundant. And so I really feel that the magnetism of the openness of when we can embrace them, and just, yeah, so many words, but so many feelings, so many more feelings.
Absolutely. It's just I think, I don't know if it's true for all reflectors, but I feel really grateful that I'm doing lots of different things at this point in time in my life. And I think I've definitely moved through the beliefs around, you know, not bringing in the steady income and all of that kind of stuff. And now I'm like, oh, well, here's an opportunity, and let's go and see what that's like. And if it doesn't resonate, then I'll just pivot to something else, you know. So all these kind of things come my way. I did a laughter yoga workshop with 200 year 10 students a couple of weeks ago, which
So
is,
good.
the hardest group to do laughter yoga with. But I just flowed with it, So it's at this point in time, it's what life brings to me, and trusting that if I'm busy with clients, I'm meant to be busy with clients. And if they drop off for a couple of months, then there's a reason for that. And everything will balance out and even out in the end. I just have to be in that space of trust. And if I'm not in that space of trust, then get myself into an environment where that trust will grow. That might be my back garden, or that might be the beach, or wherever I need to go to sink back into exactly what I do for clients, connection with myself. And when I'm connected with myself, I feel so connected to everything around me. It just opens up from that space within. And so that's a real blessing to be able to experience that.
Oh, I love that so much. I just had to, that's why I had to pick my pen up and write that down. I went, oh, that's a moment. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing yourself. Thank you for being here.
It's
Can you
been an
share?
honor.
I could keep going and I'm like, oh, these are the things. I can't keep it under 35 minutes and like an hour and a half. I just got to keep chatting. Please share with this beautiful little community of ours where they can find you, Rachel.
So I am operating under the name of Abundant Heart Kinesiology. So you can find my website, www.abundantheartkinesiology.com, and also by that handle on Instagram and Facebook.
Before we go, do you have any sources of wisdom that you'd like to share with fellow reflectors as they take this journey? I think you've already said it, but I'd ask you one more time.
Be gentle with the process, rather than kind of stepping into that space of fear about what that means to have all of these open centers. See if you can step into a place of, well, openness, because we are open to really experiencing what it is to be you and how your energy wants to express in the world. And really grounding within yourself, because I think for all humans, but particularly reflectors, our power comes through being grounded and connected and guided through the wisdom within us and the way that our energy works. And we can do all the experimentation, and we can start in the intellectual phase, which is what I did. But it's really when we kind of sit and listen that our energy begins to speak through us.
Thank you, sister. I'm like, oh, yes. There's my words handed back to me time and time again. Thank you again for sitting here in space with me and for sharing yourself, for sharing who you are. You're a gift, absolute gift to this world.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor to be in your presence, and I'm so glad we got to meet earlier this year.
Yeah. And I look forward to chatting with you again.
Thanks, Annie.